mean nothing to y'all. Understand nothing was done for me, so I don't plan on stopping at all. I want this shit forever, man, ever, man, ever, man. Shutting shit down in the mall and telling that girl she the one for me. And I ain't even planning to call. I want this shit forever, man, ever, man, ever, man.
Last name ever, first name greatest. Like a sprained ankle, boy, ain't nothing to play with. Started off local, but thanks to all the haters, I know G4 pilots on a first name basis. In your city, faded off the brown. Nino, she insists she got more class. We know, swimming in the money, come and find me. Nemo, if I was at the club, you know I balled. Chemo, dropped a mixtape, that shit sounded like an album. Who'd have thought a countrywide tour be the outcome? Labels want my name beside an X like Malcolm. Everybody got a deal, I did it without one. Yeah, nigga, I'm about my business. Killing all these rappers, you would swear I had a hit list. Everyone who doubted me is asking for forgiveness. If you ain't been a part of it, at least you got to witness. Bitches,
it may not mean nothing to y'all. Understand nothing was done for me, so I don't plan on stopping at all. I want this shit forever, man, ever, man, ever, man. Shutting shit down in the mall and telling that girl she the one for me. And I ain't even planning to call. I want this shit forever, man, ever, man.
Ever, Mr. West is in the building. Ain't no question who about to kill.
I used to have hood dreams, big fame, big change. I stuck my dick inside this life until that bitch came and went hard all fall like the ball teams, just so I could make it rain all spring. Y'all seen my story, my glory. I had raped the game young. You could call it statutory. When a nigga blow up, they gon' build statues from me. Old money, Benjamin Button, what done? Super bad chicks giving me mixed love. You would think I ran the world like Michelle's husband. You would think these niggas know me when they really doesn't. Like they was down with the old me. No, you fucking wasn't. You such a fucking loser. He ain't even go to class, Bueller. Trade the Grammy plaques just to have my granny back. Remember she had that bad hip like a fanny pack. Chasing the stardom, turn you to a maniac. All the way in Hollywood and I can't even act. They pull their cameras out and goddamn he snap. I used to want this thing forever, y'all can have it back.
It may not mean nothing to y'all. Understand nothing was done for me, so I don't plan on stopping at all. I want this shit forever, man, ever, man, ever, man. Shutting shit down in the mall and telling that girl she
good morning, CKLN listeners.
And I ain't even planning to call. I want this shit forever, man, ever,
hope you're enjoying this Trotsky-esque anthem, Forever, by Drake, Kanye, Lil Wayne, and coming up in a sec, Eminem, who absolutely just murders tracks every time he's on it with someone else. Nas, family, Nas, another rapper who was feuding with Jay-Z, family famously picked on Jay-Z in a line by saying, Eminem murdered you on your own-ish, and he's a very talented rapper, Eminem, although he is saying nothing but absolute crazy, misogynistic, horrorcore nonsense these days. Very carefully and beautifully constructed, but you gotta wonder why. But it is the 23rd day of March 2010, exactly 5 years ago today in Waco, Texas, the SPP.gov North American Union Agreement sequel to NAFTA was signed. That's right, 5 years ago today, our country, the country of Canada, was pledged along with the countries of America and Mexico to a secret cabal of corporate working groups that are manipulating and changing policies behind the scenes. You'll even see articles like I was reading in yesterday's Metro talking about how the dollar, the greenback, or sorry, the Canadian dollar is achieving parity with the American dollar these days. And that's exactly what the North American Union plan was meant to do. It was meant to standardize all of this in stealth. So while we should be wondering how this happens, we could simply cheer for the dollar achieving parity, much like we cheer for, say, the Leafs winning a hockey game. And I do remember this this happening a couple years ago as well, as people were starting to cheer about the rise of the dollar, not knowing that it does make our it increases our purchasing power here, but it also increases the cost of our goods overseas. So temporarily, with a higher dollar, we'll get to buy all this stuff. The problem is long term, and I'm talking 6 months, a year, you know, whoever knows how you measure these things, you know, however you choose to, it's going to make people overseas, it's going to make it tougher for them to buy our exports, because our costs are so high, our dollar is so strong. So it's meant to deindustrialize us while giving us a quick little fix of fun. But like these Trotsky-esque rappers, and I do say Trotsky-esque in jest, hopefully you can tell by a little smirk in my voice here, Drake, Kanye, Lil Wayne, and Eminem, I definitely do want this ish forever, in the sense that, as I understand the world today, here on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays on CKLN Radio, 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947, also streaming at archive.org, radio, the number 4all.net, blackkrishna.blogspot.com for links and other rantings and ravings and ramblings, and blackkrishna@gmail.com if you want to get at me. But I do try and break down here on this show the fact that there is a new world order system that is out there, the plans of people over several generations to create a one world government in the control of a handful of people who micromanage all of us. That's what the cameras are. That's why they teach us not to care if we share our information. I mean, you know, it's a parallel track. If you're taking tons of pictures and putting them up on Facebook, and not being afraid to share all that private information, then you're less likely to be concerned about privacy violations by your government without noticing the relative, the problems there, with the fact that if your government's constantly spying on you and you don't ask for why, then you have an issue. And if you think it's for Al-Qaeda, folks, I got news for you. Al-Qaeda was created by the CIA. 9/11 is an inside job. It's 8.5 years later. Deal with it. Wakey, 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 folks. Because we got some pressing news on the agenda. Yesterday, I barely got through the only article in the Metro that I could read, the Bill of Health from Obama here, as U.S. passes historic health care legislation. And again, just like with Obama's Change and Hope campaign, they were comparing it to Martin Luther King and this, that, and blah, 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 without any of the details. Now, they can do this here in communist Canada, in communist America with 3Ks or whatever. The countries that the New World Order is turning us into, they can get away with this crap. Because all they have to do is through the concept of liberalism, social engineering, political correctness. If the media says that this Bill of Health is historic legislation, some of the most historic stuff since the civil rights legislation in the 50s, and you try and question that, a third party that doesn't look into these issues very carefully is going to go, oh, what, you don't want the civil rights either? You don't want blacks to have rights either? Is that what you're saying? And because they're going to want to support this because it was told to them, sold to them as being quintessential. But, you know, these guys, I got to say, if I was a spook and I was working on fooling everybody, I would have a blast. I'm sure these guys have a blast at what they can try and get away with and how they can make their jobs of messing with us interesting. And so here on the cover of yesterday's Metro, again, I will stress yesterday's Metro, where it says Bill of Health and it has a really goofy-looking picture of Obama just on the cover. I mean, they want us laughing ourselves to death in this country. It was posited by an analyst of Aldous Huxley and his Brave New World scenario that this is what was said. Orwell thought, Orwell feared book banning and book burning. Aldous Huxley, another science fiction writer from The 60s, Orwell's from 48 was when 1984 was published. So to set it up, because I'm never sure who's listening. I don't know if it's people who are conspiracists, if it's civilians, if it's people that shouldn't be involved in hearing this information, if it's people that desperately need to hear this information and take some action because they are capable of doing that. You can't do it, folks. You can't do it. You know, I'd never ask a guy in a wheelchair to dunk a basketball. I can't dunk a basketball. One of my great regrets in life. But the point is that if you can't handle this information, handle it doesn't just mean, yeah, I got that. Face or gut. You know, it's not about getting punched in the face or punched in the gut. It's about actually taking action with it. So here's how to analyze what's going on in our culture, because there's all this talk about the police state. Oh, my God. The cops there, cameras there. Oh, my God. Police state. If that's how we react to it, then there's something else going on besides a police state. So George Orwell, author of 1984, former British intelligence officer, kind of whistleblowing a bit in 1948 with the publication of 1984, said that we may have to ban, or he feared the banning or burning of books. Aldous Huxley, whose Brave New World was published in the 1950s and revisited in the 60s, was another sci-fi author. But in Orwell's 1984, it was a heavy police crackdown, kind of like V for Vendetta. Police everywhere, people paranoid, and so on. In Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, the whole population was drugged and distracted into being defeated. They were on a drug called Soma. They were having lots of sex, just meaningless, mindless, pointless sex. And so. Orwell feared that people would try and burn or ban books. Huxley feared that there would be no need to. People just wouldn't care. I mean, what's the point of banning that book? I mean, what's the point of banning Alex Jones films? If people don't want to watch them, what's the point of banning Loose Change? What's the point of banning any of this stuff? People don't want to watch them. So that is the Brave New World dictatorship that is being created out there. Do keep that in mind. Now, As part of this, they are selling us the Obamacare healthcare plan. There's nothing personal against Obama, although I definitely have something personal against Obama. Let me make this clear. I have something very personal against Obama. As a Harvard-educated lawyer, some people will ask me, you know, do you think he knows? Do you think he knows that he's not doing anything? Do you think he knows that we're all kind of screwed here? Yes, the answer is I do think he knows. And why? Because he taught law at Columbia for years. He's a lawyer. He's a rich, famous, smart guy. And he's just an evil, cruel hoax of a liar. He's a joke. And it's time to get that joke so we can get past that joke. But I did say that they're messing with us. And so this is the Metro. This is the world's largest global newspaper, whatever that means to you. And on the cover, it says Obama's Bill of Health, U.S. House passed historic health care legislation. On the first page inside, on page 3 of the Metro, after the Inner Leaf ad, it says here, hospitals cut back ahead of budget. That's right. This is your socialized health care. On the cover, they're selling the fact the Americans are getting it. And then a page later, they're saying how screwed Canadians are because of cuts being made by our government to health care, of all things they have to cut. You know, they have to cut this. Again, here in communist Canada, fascist Canada, we don't question these things. We're like, oh, you hear they're cutting that? Oh, it's not in the budget. There's certain code words. You know, I'm at the store yesterday, and there's a Pakistani woman there, and she comes in, and she's arguing with my boss, my friend, my boss, for like $5, you know, just arguing away about this and that. And they're doing it in their own North Indian language, and they're going at each other. And then she leaves them alone and smiles, and she already got a damn good deal on the couple little jackets she bought. But at the end, you know, she was like, you know, everybody's friends. I was like, yeah, everybody's friends. And she's like, it's cool. It's part of the fun of it is negotiating. And when I go overseas, you know, when I travel, I used to travel a lot. I haven't traveled in years. I haven't saved this place. But when I used to travel a lot, I'd go to like India and I'd say to people, look, man, if you can get 500 rupees for that thing, if you can get 500, go for it. I'm going to give you 3. And if you want 3 from me, you got it. If not, forget it. And of course, you'd haggle around. You'd end up somewhere around, you know, 425, 450 or whatever, because a lot of times you really don't want to screw these people sitting on the side of the street trying to sell stuff to eat. So as a tourist, you paid, you know, a couple of grand or a few grand to make that trip. You know, you definitely feel a little bit of sympathy, but you also want to get ripped off totally. So again, that's what it is. Here in Canada, we often tend to say, oh, is that the price? That's the price. Now, some people will negotiate. Some people negotiate their butts off, but it's mostly an older generation's thing, as we lose the confidence for that. So anyway. Let me just break down what the powers that be running our country poorly have to say here. Hospitals cut back ahead of budget. What's another 12 beds? That's the number of hospital beds St. Michael's Hospital cut this month in anticipation of this week's provincial budget, which is expected to put a lid on hospital funding. And I got to whistleblow a bit here. I did used to work in the homeless industry, and I did have a chance to interact with hospital, senior-level hospital staff and so on. And without going into details, some of them did mention that they could get, you know, a $6 million, $10 million grant, you know, from a foundation or whatever, from a few different organizations, to build a working replica model of what a hospital will look like, a hospital room will look like in 20 or 30 years now. It'll have all these neat little bells and whistles and be out of Star Trek, and this device might do this, and oh, wow, isn't that neat? They can get, maybe not quite that much, but a massive, say $2-4 million, a massive amount of money for that type of flaky project. And some of them actually launder money from their BS projects into their real projects. That's how messed up medicine is. And that's why you'll catch me knocking the foundations out there. Because the foundations out there are how the rich people control these decisions. They put people in place that that make sure they make these decisions. So anyway, when it comes to budget cuts, when it comes to budget anything, keep in mind that these are choices they're making. And when they make choices and they say people are going to be screwed by them, again, 5,000 patients, mostly frail and elderly, towards the end of this article, it's meant to be a shot in the gut. Take the wind out of your sails. That's what it's meant to do. You know, it's meant to, the government says it's doing its best, but the cuts are going to have to be made. Tom? And they'll flip back and say, oh, such a tragic story. Next up, the weather. And then, you know, that's how they do it. They every day, they hammer home the fact that you're screwed. And then, you know, you, well, I don't know. After a while, you feel like you're screwed. Okay, and back to this article here. In the face of a $24.7 billion deficit in, quote, unsustainable, unquote, growth in healthcare funding, unsustainable. There it is, folks. You know, you know what sustainable development means? Sustainable development means making sure we use all the resources well right now so we can guarantee we have them later. You know who says that? Communists. Communist Manifesto, according to Michael Shaw, freedomadvocates.org. He's a genius lawyer, been fighting UN Agenda 21, the UN global commie takeover plans for some time now. And they're just using this word on a regular basis to make it normal. Now, if funding is unsustainable, then we'll say, oh my God, we have to have sustainable funding. For what? For an improvement in healthcare? We don't see that. All we see is hospitals getting bigger, sucking up more money, without producing better results. Across Ontario, it says here, the province has signaled that radical reforms are on the way for hospitals. Radical reforms. Again, this is part of the North American Union, SPP.gov, system, the sequel to NAFTA, which I quoted earlier. In fact, I'm gonna go before I get into this more, just so, I can prove to you people, because of course you can see what I'm doing. Where's my document cam? Guys, give me my document cam, to quote Jason, Alex Jones there. Alright, so we're at SPP.gov here. It says here, this website is an archive for SPP documents. Going forward, we want to build on the accomplishments achieved by the SPP and further improve our cooperation. The last statement was made here from 09. And it says here, this website is an archive for SPP documents and will not be updated. Now, it doesn't say that they stopped or they're reversing this, but just to give you an idea, here we go. See, today's the 23rd of March. Was I right about this? Yeah, I didn't even look this up before I got here to the show. It's popped into my head, but here's what it says here about the SPP Prosperity Working Groups. Following the March 23, 2005 launch of the SPP, each nation established security and prosperity working groups to fulfill the vision of the North American heads of state. That's not a vision they outlined to the people, by the way, in the countries where they ran, that they run, so do keep that in mind. The working group will consult with stakeholders, set specific measurable and achievable goals and implementation dates, and identify concrete steps the government can take to achieve these goals. An initial report is due to the heads of government on June 23rd, with semi-annual progress reports thereafter. The prosperity working groups established cover a wide range of issue areas. What are those issue areas? What are they working on? What aspects of our society are they working on? A little tinkering here by the trilateral working groups, the Council of Canadians, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Mexican Council on Foreign Relations representatives, carving up our countries the way their corporations see fit. So what are they working on? What are the areas? Well, since March 23rd, 2005, exactly 5 years ago, they've been working on these areas. I'm reading off the SPP.gov website that any journalist could find by Googling the letters S, P, and P. This is what they're up to. They're working on issues of manufactured goods and sectoral and regional competitiveness, movement of goods, energy, environment, e-commerce and information communications technologies, financial services, business facilitation, food and agriculture, transportation, and health. And I will add military, because there have been articles since talking about the integration of the Canadian and American military security forces. So when you see changes like this in healthcare, and you see major overhauls in all areas of our society, including the private-public partnerships that are taking over everything, where our public money was used to build up a successful business model, and then it's sold for pennies on the dollars that were put into it to private corporations who then horribly mismanage it and overcharge us. Happened all over the third world. They've always asked for foreign investment, and that foreign investment has come in. Instead of making services more affordable, it's made them tougher to get. A company, Bechtel, even privatized rainwater in Bolivia. And they're knocking around, walking around slums, kicking over buckets of rainwater being collected by people too poor to afford water. So do keep that in mind. Back here to the budget from yesterday. What's happening in Ontario? across Ontario, hospitals are responding to, again, that are expected. These haven't even been announced, but based on $24 billion deficit, these people are all cutting in advance. Across Ontario, hospitals responding by trimming beds, services, and staff. Cuts that the Ontario Health Coalition and hospital unions warn are compromising patient care. So what do you think is going to happen with Obamacare? You know, centralized healthcare, federalized healthcare, will be the exact same thing. It'll be based on the communist model, where we all have to cut back for the greater good. We all have to ration for the greater good. We all have to use less for the greater good. Not realizing that the people that want us to use less are doing really good and better than ever. Even with all the green stuff, the environmental and sustainable and development, and just use a bag and walk to work and stop driving a car and all. The people that are selling all this, like Al Gore, are billionaires. And they're billionaires for reselling air in the carbon credit market. So, complete insanity. Look up ClimateGate if you want to know more about how the global warming myths of fraud. Or look out your window and see this rainy nonsense. In fairness, they were spraying last week, likely to stop global warming, and that's why it's so cold now. When I do mean spraying, I mean spraying chemtrails. Again, go to youtube.com/blackkrishnaverse, BlackKrishnaVerse, to see the videos of the chemtrails all across Toronto. I put up about 20 of them, and if 10 of us did this, then they'd be shaken in this city, because they couldn't get away with it with all the video coverage and the fact that that many people doing it might spark more people into doing it if they keep spraying. So, but if I do it, I do it. And I'm like, oh yeah, he's the guy. He works 6 days a week, 8 hours a day. And then he does his radio show 3 hours a day. And that takes a lot of time to prepare for. And then and then the rest of the time he's working on music and yada yada. And then he's going shooting YouTube videos at Kempton. That's what he does. That's what he does. Well, I gotta tell you folks, it's not what I do. That's what you could be doing. And you could be doing more, and you could be doing different. You could be doing whatever the hell you want to, but this is not what I do. This is what I figure out there is to do here in the 21st century when it comes to a new world order whose butt we have to kick. So back to how they're kicking our butts with healthcare. Ontario President, Ontario Hospital Association President Tom Clausen says the cuts to date have, quote, been modest and have not hurt patients. Still, even he says it's getting close to that. poor guy. He will be watching the budget closely to ensure hospitals get no less than a 2% hike on base funding of about $18 billion. Equally important, he says, is the need for significant investment in community services to offset ongoing cuts to hospitals. And this seems good. And there's all sorts of groups out there that are trying to do good stuff for the community and that are involved in community services and community engagement and so on. It's good. Is it good? Well, no, I gotta say it's not good. Look, it's not good for a number of reasons. But one of the reasons it's not good is because these community services are not organically controlled by the community. They are controlled by, the government and by the license of the government. So, for example, let's just say you have a community group in your area that's responsible for dictating to your local community what your community should do. Well, who tells that group what to do? That's why it becomes important to understand what communism is, communitarianism is, and all the ideas being pushed and how dangerous they are. Because, It's not as simple as saying, wow, it'd be great. Yeah, the government's giving us money for a little community center and a little community organization here to help represent our community. They're not representing the community to the government. They're representing the government to the community. That's how this works. And that's how they did it in communist Russia as well. So, keep in mind that if you really want to get in the game on this, then you're going to learn about the New World Order system and you're going to see whether these institutions or structures that are popping up like mushrooms all over the place around us, and you're going to see whether, at least in principle, they're trying to fight the New World Order, even if they don't explicitly mention them because it might mess up their funding. But you got to see what their actions are. And if you don't learn about the New World Order, then you won't see how their actions are consistent with the New World Order agenda, which in many cases they are. So, and back to this article here. As hospitals admit fewer patients and discharge them faster, people are commonly sent home on intravenous antibiotics, oxygen, dialysis, and with open wounds, things that used to keep them in the hospital for weeks. The expectation is that visiting nurses and personnel or support workers will pick up the slack. The expectation. They don't plan for this. The expectation. You see, this is not... These people are smarter than this. They're smarter than to go, hey, you know, we hope those guys will handle it. They're smart enough to know in an organized... Masonic military system, like the hospital system is, like all systems are, like all corporations are, pretty much, like most organizations are, military, of course, using some version of it. They're smart enough to say, wait, if we release 70 patients from this hospital that need an average, based on their injuries on a weekly basis, the outpatients, that need an average of 2 hours of care each, then we could put 140 man hours in the streets over the next week. They could do some simple actuarial junk like that to figure this out, but they're not trying. They're not trying. So do keep that in mind and figure out why. back here to the article. The problem is, with those expectations, the community sector has not been adequately funded to manage the increasing demands, concedes Margaret Mottershead, CEO of the Ontario Association of Community Care Access Centers. So, excuse me, and I don't know Ms. Mottershead, I don't know what she knows, but I do know that her job she's the complaints department about this. You know, basically, when there is the Ontario Association of Community Care Access Centers, she has to balance her funding relationship with the government, and she has to balance her sympathetic relationship with the people. And so her job is to say, they're there, it'll be better, we're doing our best, but there's nothing we can do. And that's the job of a lot of these organizations, to people who come to them with legitimate complaints. So keep in mind out there, a lot of them are spooks or whack jobs or secret society members or maybe affiliated with or a direct part of these satanic pedophile cults that run the world. Oh, I got to say that. I'm actually getting known for saying that, which is kind of fun. Not naming names, so it's tough for me to get sued. But again, I'll drop John DeCamp Nick, what's that other guy's name? Nick from Franklin Scandal, the new book Franklin Scandal. Just played that the other day. There you go, Nick Bryant. Nick Bryant of the Franklin Scandal. Not because, like, they're like God or anything, but because they wrote books on this that sold thousands and thousands of copies, and they weren't sued, so I ain't tripping too much. Back to this article here. And these demands are expected to increase significantly as the healthcare system tries to get a handle on what's known as the ALC problem. ALC refers to alternative level of care. It's been required by 5,000 patients, mostly frail, elderly people who are now in hospital, even though they don't need to be there. So they're going to kick a bunch of old people out. Again, this is socialized healthcare. If there's budget cuts, then, you know, you can live with that head wound. If we got the money, hey, man, you better sit down. You better sit down right now because you're going to fall over and crack your fool skull again. But if there's budget cuts, you know what, sir? You know, it is, be a little careful with it. Try not to bump into anything. If you do happen to black out and are unable to call 911, then we apologize. But that's modern healthcare for you. So going back to the cover of yesterday's Metro, which I am talking about twice in a row on 2 days' shows, because it is important. This healthcare issue is going to kill all of us if we let it. And again, it's not about Obamacare or Mexicare or CanadaCare. It's about the fact that they're all being merged locally with the SPP.gov, North American Union, which you can see some details of at SPP.gov. See the original the archive of the documents that were setting this up. And of course, a bunch of lies on there, too. Definitely look for some of the critics who analyze this. But this is what they want to standardize worldwide. So I just talked about how crappy Canada's healthcare system is getting because of the budget cuts mystery. And I'm gonna flash back to a couple of things I said they were saying yesterday about Obamacare. The same paper, the next page, and they still expect us to believe that, quote, where does it say here? Aha. Historic legislation last night extending health care to tens of millions of uninsured Americans, a climactic chapter in the century-long quest for near universal coverage. Wow. And again, they compare this to civil rights legislation. Here we go. Across hours of debate, House Democrats predicted the central bill cost $940 billion over a decade would rank with other great social legislation of recent decades. There it is. So they sell Americans Canada as a great role model to have when it comes to healthcare. And then they sell Obamacare as being a phenomenal victory. And then I break down a little article from the same damn paper about healthcare. And there you have it. It's not what it seems. But before I go on here and break down a couple of things, a quick shout to naturalnews.com. And at naturalnews.com, you'll find an item from today, Tuesday, March 23rd, 2010, that says, Healthcare Dictatorship, a Crime Against America. Healthcare Dictatorship, a Crime Against America, from naturalnews.com. The best website I've ever seen on health issues, and Mike Adams is truly a genius. Good-looking guy, too, ladies. Don't know if it helps or hurts. He does have videos. And when you get a guy this good-looking, this passionate about health, an issue that women especially, but people in general these days are exceptionally passionate about, it's a no-brainer to at least check it out. And if he's not your type, I'm sorry. He's still good-looking. I might not be your type. I'm still good-looking. I ain't tripping. But getting to this article here. It's amazing that the day before the healthcare, quote, reform bill is passed in America, the FDA announces that one of the most popular statin drugs sold in America causes so much kidney damage that it might kill you. And then the day after this healthcare bill passes, the FDA announces that a popular rotavirus vaccine made by Merck is being halted because it is contaminated with a mysterious DNA sequence from a pig virus called porcine circovirus type 1, or PCV1. The reason this is important is because cholesterol drugs and vaccines represent what conventional American medicine is all about. Drugs and injections, and I'll add, like he would, surgery. It's not all about health and prevention, it's about drugs and injections and surgery too, of course, he says in the next paragraph. I don't even think I read that, but anyway, earlier. So yes, drugs, injections, and surgery, and guesswork, and promises that They can't do anything, but they're trying their best, and they're not. They're getting what Big Pharma tells them to get, and they are following what the diktats of their centralized and controlled medical licensing bodies say they have to do. And the legislation that was just passed is focused entirely on how to expand the failed system of drugs and injections so that it causes harm to everyone, rather than just those who voluntarily choose to be sucked into it. This is the medical equivalent of a wartime draft that forces soldiers into battle against their will. Except this isn't a war against some foreign enemy. It's a war being waged against your body by the pharmaceutical industry, the cancer industry, the surgery pushers, and all the corporations that prey upon the public for their sick care profits. That's a little jump off from Mike Adams at naturalnews.com. And this healthcare issue is important. I'd like it to be noted that I was pissed about this. I'd like to make this clear that I was pissed off, and so on. So just so you know, because you can't let these whack jobs get away with this insanity. It's just wrong on too many levels. But you know what? Before I break anything else down here, I'm going to play a little clip from Tarpley.net, T-A-R-P-L-E-Y.net, because cyber wars, we get a lot of this information on the internet, and tons of people put stuff on the internet. And when you have a problem, and these days, you know, you don't know where to go, you go to the internet to share it. And that's not a bad thing, because the internet's is a lot of people don't look at it. A lot of people do. A lot of people waste time. A lot of people get repetitive. They've studied the fact that if you're on the internet, you'll probably go to the same sites. I go to my Yahoo News site. I check my basketball crap or whatever, and I go to Infowars.com and so on. And so we get into certain habits on there. But the things you can find on there are amazing. And the propaganda around cyber warfare has been quite intense recently. So I'm going to give you Mr. Webster Griffin Tarpley. Again, rogue academic, summa cum laude, badass. This guy could be the next Kissinger. Instead, he's trying to kick Kissinger's butt and Brzezinski's too, two of the oligarchs that are running American foreign policy primarily, though also domestic, into the ground. So this is Webster Griffin Tarpley from Russia Today. Go to Russia Today, Google Russia, or YouTube Russia Today. See the stuff they're doing on these issues. It appears Russia really, really hates the New World Order by sharing information like this from Mr. Webster Griffin Tarpley.
Well, it's like a real-life matrix. Cyber wars and cybersecurity are no longer fictional plots for movies. They are serious concerns getting tracked by politicians in Washington. Joining me now to shed light on these cyber wars is investigative journalist and author Webster Tarpley. Webster, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
First of all, I want to talk about Google and China. We just were discussing it with our correspondent, Lauren Lister, before. You know, Google said that it would stay in China only if the Chinese government lifted the censorship issue. But, you know, nothing has changed. Google is still there. What's really going on here?
We have to admire the virtuosity of House Foreign Relations Committee under Howie Berman, because last week they were able to decide an issue in the history of the Ottoman Empire, and this week they're back legislating the proper internet policy for China. I think it's clear Google will have to obey Chinese law or they'll be out. Microsoft is already signaling that they are much more anxious to stay than Google. And when we say Google, we should realize that they're now in a cartel with the National Security Agency, the NSA, and therefore are functioning as an arm of the U.S. intelligence community. The U.S. is trying to go to the WTO, the World Trade Organization, with a complaint against China. So I think there's nothing coming there but conflict. But there are two sides to Google. One is the censorship issue. The other side is the hacking, the cyber warfare, as you point out. And I think here's where we have some really ominous stuff going on. Here in the U.S., we've had a buildup now over months. Going back to a statement by Obama last May, where he said that his website had been hacked during the campaign. So he was a victim of these things. So there's been a buildup on it. And recently we've had a special report on CNN, a simulation of a cyber attack on the U.S., and we've had a very important op-ed in the Washington Post by a guy called Mike McConnell, who was the head of the NSA under Clinton, and he now works for Booz Allen Hamilton. And essentially what you have in this is everything is shut down when the cyber attack occurs, and Admiral McConnell says, we've got to fight the cyber war the way we fought the Cold War. So let me just, if I could, point out a couple of tendencies that are going on. one of the things that's happening here is a vast exaggeration of what you can do with a computer, right? It seems to be they want you to believe you can shut down power plants, you can blow up nuclear reactors, you can stop trains and planes from taking off. There are no really recorded cases of this. You have people hacking into banks and things like this, but not anything more. It's the CIA and the Wall Street Journal that want you to think that there are these threats. So it sounds a little bit like Saddam can strike London in 45 minutes or something like that. The other thing we're doing is taking the language and the logic of the Cold War, and indeed of nuclear confrontation, and bringing that into this new cyber field. So we're talking about deterrence, retaliation, first strike, all of this the stuff that we thought we were rid of.
So why then would there be this exaggeration? You know, in the recent article that I pointed out just a few minutes ago in the London Times, NATO diplomats were saying there is a cyber war going on between China and the United States, and you seem to say that maybe this is just the ongoing finger pointing that's happening between China and the U.S.
I mean, what's
really happening here?
It's It's much more ominous because it's the preparation for a whole new field of conflict on the part of people whose interest is conflict. They make money off of it. They've made their careers off of it. It also is their ideology. With cyber warfare, you get a whole new cast of enemies. In the CNN simulation, Bin Laden, Al Qaeda came up, and they were essentially scorned. They said, oh, they can't do it. Those guys live in caves. So who can do it? CNN says Russia, China, Sudan. So now you're playing in a much bigger league than just the Middle East. The other thing is, suppose you have a digital Pearl Harbor or 9/11 or something that's being sold as that. I think you get into an issue which I would call virtual flag terrorism. In other words, false flag terrorism. Provocations take place, they're blamed on somebody. In the area of virtual flag terrorism, something happens, you can blame anything on anybody. If we have a crash in the DC Metro, what to do? Blame a hacker in Russia or China or Sudan. And who in the world is going to be able to say no? Especially when we have these groups like NetWitness, which seems to be the watchdog of this, which is itself an arm of the CIA and the U.S. intelligence community. So it looks to me like we're heading into an area. Plus, you can also put provocateurs on somebody's territory. I mean, physical provocateurs, and they do it. Or you have a botnet. You have Trojans that are controlling computers in some other country, and you blame them. So location and attribution are not the same thing, but
right.
Some people would say, no, location is attribution. We make no distinction. Let's attack.
Webster, I want to thank you so much for joining me, and we're certainly venturing into different turf now with these cyber war attacks.
Trey, niggas think we bullshit.
Yeah. 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 Nigga try me, sonny, best out of heat on him. Hope my clothes get them out the street with him. Well, put your body in the bag. I bring money to my niggas that bring death to my enemies.
And we're back. That was Webster Griffin Tarpley on Russia Today. And that's right, I will bring muffins to my N-words that bring death to my enemies. Who wants a muffin, everybody? We got to kick some New World Order, but quick scan of the Metro, just today's Metro, says here on page 6, Burlington most at risk of cybercrime, says a new study. Sweet God, the kind of BS they can shovel in our direction here. All right. Quebec, it says here in the article here from page 6 of today's, I was reading yesterday's Metro, today is today's Metro from the 23rd day of March 2010. Quebec residents appear to be among the least susceptible to cybercrime, while citizens of Burlington, Ontario were the most susceptible in a list of Canada's most vulnerable big cities, according to a report by security software maker Symantec. And a lot of these guys have been caught releasing their own viruses, so their own software captures them. All this nonsense. So screw you, Symantec. Burlington of all places. Just measuring some. And again, most at risk of cybercrime. You know, what does that exactly mean? Well, we'll see if this article in the Metro explains it. You know, all these articles are only like, 74 words each. And the less someone needs, here's how the New World Order is working. They're reducing our capacity to handle explanations, so then we don't even want them. So then the government says, we're doing this. And we go, yeah, shut up already. We're doing this is three words. Just start saying, do this. And the government will say, okay, sorry, people, we don't want you to revolt. Instead of saying, we're doing this now, we're just going to say, do this. People go, thank you. And that'll be it. Because that's where it's going in our Twitterverse, in our, if you're learning but not thinking, then you got problems. If you can repeat what someone else learned, that's fine. If you can't think of something new to say, you got issues. And that's the world they're trying to create. I'm not trying to insult you. I'm trying to get you to save your butt. Because it's not about, oh, no, giant FEMA camps. Oh, no, who knows what they're going to do. Ooh, giant dome cities, mass extermination. All that's possible, and all that's on the schedule. It's just that in the short term, if you have a problem, you won't be able to think of a solution. And that is going to be a pain in the butt. So definitely be careful with the Twitter. Be careful with the texting. Be careful with habitualizing and ritualizing your infantilization and your dumbing down by reducing your capacity to handle complex ideas. I know that myself. I can't. If I want to say three things to somebody, I better pick one. And that's how it goes these days. Though of course we're trying to change that. So back here onto this article about cybercrime. The company used recorded incidents of cybercrime and per capita data on internet access and computer spending to determine which of Canada's 50 largest cities ranks most at risk for online threats like identity fraud. Burlington was ranked the most vulnerable overall with the most incidents of security instances per capita in three of four threat categories. Burlington had the worst rates of computers infected by malware programs, attempted infections, rates of computers being hacked and sending out spam, etc. Burlington was second worst behind Victoria, BC, in the fourth category, having a computer co-opted into a so-called botnet, a global network of computers that carries out attacks, and on and on and on. So they're starting to agitate for the cyber attacks here coming soon. And so, I'm just gonna fly through the metro here because I did look at this while Tarpley was playing here. Candidates for Parents of the Year, the RCMP are blaming a couple of parents for using their kids to help shoplift. And again, that's the first article that you read. There's a cover story here about a woman who literally physically walked across Canada from coast to coast. But that's a TELUS ad basically celebrating that. But inside the metro, they're promoting this. Why is this the first thing? Why is this useful to people? If you read this, you know, yes, you can condemn them and you can condemn poor people for doing this. But it's also something that you learn and you learn to do. And instead of giving you information that you can use or that you can pass on, this is the type of crap they give us. Color barriers. Universities, colleges need to address racism, says a new report. The Canadian Federation of Students, Ontario. So these guys are commissioned to write a report on this. They're commissioned to ask questions that get these answers. Then they're commissioned to say this is a problem. I'm not saying there isn't real racism. Don't get it twisted. It's just that instead of making us paranoid about racism, why don't you take a bunch of these college kids and put them to work on poverty and figuring out what's really going on there. So instead of making people feel paranoid, just tell people, man up. If it gets out of hand, then we can shut somebody up. But otherwise, just deal with free speech in a culture and let's handle the problem that people are persistently facing. Because if you got it right, and you got an iPod, and you got a car, and you got a life, you should be able to take some random BS, and you should be strong enough to help someone who doesn't have all that stuff try and get it. The world they're creating and the world that they have created is one that we've got to challenge. It's the normalcy of. Toronto Maple Leafs player here, smiling, Dandy Dion, again on the metro here. The medium is now the message for Canadians. Canadians are spending more time online than they are in front of their television. The first time this has happened in Canada, as I said, the New Moon Blu-ray and DVD set. New Moon, I haven't even seen this New Moon thing yet, but they are selling us a lot of vampires and zombies. There's an article here later on in the Metro about zombies. Here we go. Zombies, Love, and More, from page 37 of today's Metro, by Rick McGinnis. Higher education isn't all earnest grindwork for high-minded paper chasing. Every now and then, some professor's enthusiasm or college students will land an eye catching an idiosyncratic course on some university syllabus. And so it says here, zombies, the living dead in literature, film, and culture. And yes, the exclamation mark is meant to be there. And that's just one wacky course you can happen to take. Now, I got to say this, folks. There's zombies everywhere in our culture right now. Zombies everywhere. There's updated versions of English classic novels like Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, now with zombies. Just go to Chapters. You can see this for yourself, because I did. And you'll see that. And zombies, as I'm trying to understand it, because, again, I am a conspiracy theorist. I know there is evidence of a conspiracy. I see the hardcore documented evidence. And then based on that, I theorize about what might else they be up to, what I notice things in my own culture. You know, I don't have to just, you know, hear somebody on the Alex Jones show saying, yes, I worked for the police and they're putting police everywhere and it seems like they have quotas. I can see a cop just waiting, doing nothing by a bridge. Car drives by, you know, barely makes it through the red light, but makes it through, or the orange light, and boom, the cop's on his butt. And I'm thinking, why would you, a fully grown man with a job to serve and protect, be doing that, be basically waiting around corners to catch people like that who aren't even threatening anybody else? And the reason is you've been ordered to collect taxes. That's right. The Queen needs her money. She needs her money. Even though we're on Crown land, I happen to live here. So my answer to that is get off my property. Read his lips. No new taxes. Provincial finance minister's budget will handle deficit in other ways. And this is Ontario's finance minister, Dwight Duncan. No new taxes. Well, they are making a lot of cuts. It's funny. The read my lips thing was from George Bush Sr. way back when he was running for president. He was vice president from 80 to 88, and then he ran for president. And he said famously, "Read my lips, no new taxes." Again, that was the last George Bush's father who ran for president, and he lied because people later called him on that and said, "Read my lips, no new taxes. You were full of it." So that lie from 20 years ago is now being used to sell that over and over again. And if our politicians do lie when they say read my lips, knowing that Bush did, they know they can get away with it because that whole process of politicians lying to us has been normalized. And on. Somali Canadians being targeted here. Saw CBC, a report of a CBC special on why so many Somali Canadians are being turned to gangs and gang violence. Well, you know what? There's a number of reasons for this, folks. Happened with the Tamils a few years, too. But marginalization by them, targeting of them is certainly a key. It ain't easy here. And when your culture is emasculating and dehumanizing you and robbing you of your dignity, you might click up in a gang to fight back. It's happened in America. It's happened with African Americans there, and it's certainly happening here. But again, an understanding of the new world order and how they want to play us is key in this. I'm reading cover of yesterday's Metro, a new age for music videos from Lady Gaga. Go to VigilantCitizen.com or TheIndustryExposed.com. You'll see 900 comments on an article there, whereas you'll get 150, 200 on InfoWars article. People want to understand our culture, our pop culture, and how it's brainwashing us. So again, VigilantCitizen.com and TheIndustryExposed.com. There is nobody in Toronto who you pass those websites on to who will get mad at you because it has to deal with pop culture. Now, if you try and give someone natural news or something about government corruption or whatever, somebody could get really mad at you. You could lose a friendship over that. But if you give somebody something that explains Lady Gaga's new video in a really interesting way, well, who can get mad at you for that, right? Anyway, a couple of little snapshots of the world here today. Mr. Colin Smith is up next with your One Flight Up. A couple of websites to shout out for you, of course, before I go. Infowars.com, CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, NaturalNews.com, TrendsResearch.com, HenryMAKOW.com are great places to check, as well as the Vigilant Citizen and TheIndustryExposed.com. VigilantCitizen.com and Industry or TheIndustryExposed.com. Keep getting that confused, but a little Googling will get you there. TorontoTrueSeekers.com in Toronto, doing some big things, little internal scrapping going on, trying to make sure that we make plans. You saw how they messed up Pittsburgh? I really want to use the F word right now. But if y'all saw how they messed up Pittsburgh last year for their G20, then do not be afraid to tell the people of Toronto, to wake up and demand that they don't mess up Toronto. Cut together a video of some of the footage of Pittsburgh with some shots of our city and show what can happen to those tranquil scenes here in TDOT to make sure that it doesn't. We got to cut this off at the pass, folks. Just seeing the G20 show up and shut everything down will piss us all off, but getting pissed early, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So let's pound that into our own heads by getting active on these issues before the G20 in 3 months. So, Toronto True Seekers
PressForTruth.com, doing some work on that. PressForTruth.ca, Conspiracy Culture book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles at ConspiracyCulture.com. Toronto Street News, flip a guy a loony or a toonie, and get some of this info and share it and help a homeless guy at the same time. And TheFreedomLink.org. If you want to communicate about these issues, blow off some steam with other patriots. It's amazing how many people out there are pissed off at what's happening. It's also amazing how many are not. Which side do you want to be on when you know there are things happening today? When you know you have stuff to say and stuff to do that can make a difference? Exactly how do you want to go out with respect to the world that we live in? And do we live in this world? Do we live in this world or do we die in this world? That's something that you got to ask yourself. If you live in this world, you're doing something worth doing. If you die in this world, you're complaining that you're not. But that's enough for me for the 23rd day of March 2010. It's been your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. Mr. Colin Smith is up next with your One Flight Up, 4 hours of jazz. You cannot miss that, because if you do miss that, then you'll be missing the jazz genius here in Toronto that is about to take place for the next 4 hours until 11 a.m. Have a great day, everybody. Do apologize for the ranting. I am trying to feel things. I can speak like a Nazi shrink, and I might even do that all Thursday, but not right now, man. Not right now.
Listen to a doctor who got the right belly, you genocide guap to corrupt every inch in the stage. Hospitals growing ever since they had the evidence that hell was him. Who shot you? Making money out of you. Heavy metal, do they